The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
For me, footwork has been something that's got me out of trouble on more than one occasion on and off the pitch, so I'll go with that one.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
If you were watching OTBAM this morning on the Off The Ball YouTube channel, if you are watching indeed, welcome along. OTBAM is live every morning from 7:30, where Ireland's home of debate, analysis, breaking sports news and reaction. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe and hit the notification bell. If you're not new and you have subscribed, or you've not subscribed, then please do. We really appreciate your support and your comments. So do get in touch and we will read them out. Alan Quinlan, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. How are you?
We're better than the Connacht supporters, the Connacht management and the Connacht players, because they believe that they got robbed on Saturday night. Were they robbed?
Well, you're referring to the try that Chris Clote scored. When you look at the, obviously, when you look back at the footage, and when I was watching the game, I thought, God, they're going to look at this, and it should be looked at, and it wasn't. And certainly in the replays, and there's a lot of still shots from people online, it looks like Ty Byrne is ahead of the kicker. And there's a couple of things here, Ger. Obviously, if that happened to Munster, they'd be freaking out. So Connacht have every right to be unhappy about it. And Andy Friend spoke about it at length after the match. This isn't VAR. So I watched it back about 50 times, and I still think Ty Byrne is ahead of the kicker, but there's a small argument to say that some of his leg was back over the 10-meter line when Scannell kicked the ball. And, you know, the big VAR debates in the soccer last year were about your body being over the line. If any part of your body is behind the line, in this instance, you're onside. Then there's another argument from someone else online that Chris Clote brought him on. But the law states that if you're ahead of someone who kicks the ball and you're being brought on, you have to look like you're retreating initially, and then you can turn around and run forward. But I still think it was offside. And I think the problem here is it wasn't looked at. If this was looked at and watched over a number of times, and then the try, just hypothetically, the try was awarded, well, then you'd have to award it finding some evidence that he wasn't ahead of the kicker. And I think the evidence is fairly compelling that he looked like he was ahead of the kicker. So it was controversial, there's no doubt about it. And as I said, if that happened to Munster at home, you know, the fans would be in uproar over it. So it was a strange one that it wasn't looked at, and it was something that was should have been looked at least. And then if you, as I said, if you find that situation, some part of Ty Byrne's body was behind that line when Rory Scannell kicked the ball, but it should have been looked at and it should have been poured over.
Andy Friend said afterwards, and this is interesting, I thought the yellow card for Sammy Arnold was a very harsh call. I then thought, in fact, I know when Joey Carby puts the crossfield kick in, you've got Ty Byrne offside, it doesn't get looked at, it doesn't get poured over in the same manner. I let others decide. We very rarely end up on the right side. If it is a 50-50, it very rarely goes our side. It is hard.
Well, they got a big 50-50 call last year in the Rainbow Cup, so he forgets that, where there was a knock-on at the breakdown, and Joy Neville was the TMO. A Munster woman herself, she called against Andrew Conway's try that he scored that would have won the game for Munster. So that was a 50-50 call that, when you look back on it, it came off the shin of a player, went and was given as a knock-on. So there's one example of a 50-50 call that went his way. But I understand that sometimes that, you know, he's obviously feeling that these calls are going against him.
Yeah.
He would have had arguments up in the sports ground at the end where Munster were down to 13 men and they nearly won that game. So these things balance themselves out a bit. I don't agree that all these 50-50 calls are going against Connacht. As I said, for anyone that watches the game back, and when they watch the game back themselves, there was a couple of decisions that both sides got away with. And I thought some of the refereeing was, particularly around the break round. Now, it was a very difficult situation for Chris Busby. Me being a Munster man, obviously I was hoping Munster would win, but there's situations there for both sides. I think Connacht were fortunate for Paul Boyle's try when Chris Clote was and Tyburn were penalised close to the line. That's one that can go either way. I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty, but Tyburn got penalised there for not rolling away quicker. When I look back on that in a number of times, he doesn't have any material effect in that breakdown. He's trying to get out there. Chris Clote is locked onto the ball. That could very easily have been a penalty to Munster. It was awarded to Connacht to score a try. Well, look, so there's certain things. So I don't agree that all these 50-50 calls are going against.
Let's zoom out a little bit then and kind of try and put this in the context of some of the other stuff that's been going on. So Jake White had his comments about people only end up being a Connacht. And I'm paraphrasing here for all the lawyers. Jake White essentially was saying people only end up a Connacht where they can't get contracts at Leinster and Munster. And Andy Friend was like, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of people saying that. That's not true. And it's really annoying when that happens. And here he is out afterwards talking about, it feels to me like they're building a siege mentality and they're very close. Notwithstanding the fact that it took an offside try to win the game and a last second conversion to make sure that they don't draw the game. And they missed their own conversion, which hits the upright. They're like a hair's breadth away from actually winning at Thomond against the full strength Munster team. Correct. I think it's a really impressive job that he's doing, and I just hope it doesn't get derailed.
Absolutely. And look, you know, we, like I said before, and particularly in the earlier years in Munster, we had that kind of siege mentality that everyone was against us. And do you want that situation? Not all the time. Sometimes when you go to the perceived bigger clubs, you want to kind of create that mentality that everyone's against you and that you're going to have to work doubly hard. It ignites the players and all that stuff. Andy Friend is incredibly impressive. He does not have the same resources as the other provinces. That's a reality. RG Snyman and Damien Dealin, they're not signing in Connacht. You know, there's a contrast there. And he's done a remarkable job. I think he's really positive. Close people I would have been played with and coached by, Mossy Lawler, Colm Tucker is there. They're doing a brilliant job there. And look, I can understand their frustrations, but like any game, Ger, I don't think it was blatantly obvious that all these 50-50 calls were going against Connacht. There was certainly, on occasions, things went from where they put incredible pressure on Munster, getting off the line. They obviously had a plan to, from that 13 channel inwards, to go so aggressive that to stop Munster. And this is Munster's issue about their creativity in the middle of the field, which was non-existent the other night. And they've got to learn how to deal with that kind of pressure and that line speed. And, you know, how many times did Munster get in good positions in the game where Connacht just forced knock-ons, got Conor Oliver's turnovers? They were brilliant. They were so uber aggressive. And they've got to do that every week. And it's hard to get that emotion high. So the big call is the try. And that's a significant one.
Yeah.
The two tries that Connacht scored, you know, the Sammy Arnold one and or the Paul Boyle one, like I said, could have went the other way. And the other one then is the block down from Jack Carty. So even though they had a lot of pressure in that first half, they didn't create a huge amount of chances. But what they did unbelievably well is they brought a real attitude and intensity and an aggression, which frustrated the life out of Munster. And they had some huge moments in that game. It was interesting listening to them afterwards that's what they've got to try and bring every week, you know, because unfortunately for them, they put themselves in a tough position now because they've lost three games, that's probably the most frustrating one because they can get up for this Munster game, but they've got to get up for other games and they can feel hard done by what that try should have been looked at the other night. There's no doubt about that. It should have been looked back over, and I agree 100% with Andy Friend on that decision.
On the back of his performances so far, Alan, is Jack Carty now Ireland's number two out half?
Well, if you're talking about form on, his performance the other night was brilliant. I think his control, his kicking game, his overall contribution throughout the whole 80 minutes was fantastic. The conversion, Paul Boyle's conversion from that try was obviously it was obviously disappointing. That would be disappointing for any kicker to miss. They want to get 100% all of them. But you know, he looks full of confidence. He looks full of energy, and he was controlled and measured. And I think the performance the other night would certainly warrant him being in the squad on Wednesday when Andy Farrell announces it.
I should have asked, should he be Ireland's number two at half rather than will he? Because there's obviously been a little bit of a hesitation to include him in squads over the last little while. Do you think that's still just the hangover from the World Cup, or what do you put that down to?
A little bit, yeah, it is. And consistency as well. I think there was times where he wasn't picked for Connacht since that World Cup, and that his form dipped a little bit. We know it from out halves. Confidence is really important and key. There's a lot of pressure on decision-making, and it's that control and composure and sometimes what your forwards do in front of you. So I think he should be. I think if you're picking on form. But you can't, you know, Joey Carberry is just not going to be this removed from the equation here. I think he's such a talented player. That talent is there, and it's not just disappeared. His performances are below par. There's no doubt about that. And I think Jack Carty deserves to be up there as the number two at the moment because of the way he's playing. But, you know, Andy Farrell will try and figure out a way to find that mojo for Joey Carberry as well, because I just think you can't. There's two choices here with Carberry. I think if you, there's something going on there that, you know, he's trying to find his way back. He had moments the other night that were very good, and then he made some errors and mistakes. But I think you've got to work with him. You've got to make sure because he is so talented. But like I said, like the question you asked me, Jack Carty, I think he has to be in there and right in the mix because of that form and what he did the other night.
So it's a difficult one, right? We work back from the World Cup, and everybody is still fairly confident that Sexton is going to be around for that. And then after that, it's who else do you bring? By not picking Jack Carty in this squad, you're sending a message to people that no matter how well you play, you can't get into my squads. That's not a great message to send out in terms of competition. By sticking him in, do you electrify everybody and go, right, actually, I've been away from the squad for a while, but I can force my way back in. Even if you don't think he's going to make it, or if you think he's not going to make it, do you just say, I don't think he's going to make it, and I'm going to give that room in this squad to one of the other out halves who might make it?
Again, that's a difficult one, Ger. It just depends what way Andy Farrell, Mike Cass, and what they think. Do they think? And there's still question marks about Jack Carty. Is he good enough to play at that level? Can he bring that consistency? Can he bring that presence?
Okay, say they think he isn't, right? So you need to tell everybody
you're
that.
You're only picking a guy then for the sake of it that he's had a run of form.
Well, you're picking
him back at the game. So
okay, but hang on, sorry. I want to follow that bit through. Let me follow that bit through, right? Because if you're picking him so that everybody else in the Irish rugby setup knows that if you play well, we will reward you, right?
Is it one game or two games or three games, Sherbert? They lost against the Dragons last week. They were dreadful. Do you know what I mean? He played very well in Thomond Park. He's a very good player with huge potential. They've got to make a decision, and it's so relevant as to what you're saying. Is he good enough? Does he have the credential to get to this level and play here consistently? Or are we filling gaps? You know, you've Harry Byrne, Ross Byrne, Joey Carberry, Billy Burns,
well,
Healy's come into the equation. So there's a number of them there that are well below Johnny Sexton, and that's our reality. So
okay, but I was going to say the Ireland selectors thought that Billy Burns was good enough to have that role. You'd have to say Jack Carty is a better player than Billy Burns at this point.
Yes. Yeah, he is. And he has that potential. I see it. And mate, there's more to come, I think, around control and composure and physicality, all that kind of stuff. We haven't seen enough of it. You know, the World Cup didn't go well for him and for Ireland, and maybe he was made a bit of a scapegoat. Of course he has the talent, you would think, to get to that level. But it's about bringing a presence there, being really physical. You can't play international rugby and be passive and, you know, have a couple of weaknesses in your game. You know, we've been blessed with Johnny Sexton, the physicality. You know, nobody really tries. Well, they've tried for a long time to run down that channel, but nobody gets through Sexton there. If you have a kind of a you know, I think the rest of the fly halves underneath him, are they as physical? No. And that's one glaringly obvious difference between Sexton and the rest, is obviously his control and his overall talent. And but I think physically there's a difference between all of them and that defensive channel. So look, he does need to get a run, and maybe November, do you throw him in against the All Blacks? Do you have him on the bench? Well, if he's good enough and they feel he's good enough, and they play again next week, so he's got to back it up with a big performance. And Connacht need a win next week, so yeah. It's about getting some big performances, and that's the key to it. But look, I think he should be in the squad. You know, we can debate the ifs and buts about so many differing moving parts about who's behind Sexton, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are. I think Johnny Sexton is probably the most complete 10, and he's proven that. And there's a massive difference between him. Some of these younger ones, Jack Carty isn't a kid anymore, but I think what happened at the World Cup probably set him backwards. If he can get some consistent performances and get into the squad, I think it's really important for his confidence, because if he was good enough to go to a World Cup, there's obviously talent there and there's obviously ability there. Can they harness that and get it out of him on a consistent level? Well, that's a challenge for them.
Yeah, I think scapegoating him for what happened in the World Cup is like...
very unfair.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And you know what? I just think, in fairness, he did an interview after the game, and I just think he's very humble, seems like a lovely fella, seems like someone who'll bring a load of positivity. So yeah. He deserves a break.
I agree.
He deserves a chance here. So hopefully he gets that. And I'd love nothing more than to see him excel and drive on here, because he is a top quality player.
I think it would be good for Connacht. It would be good for everybody else who's on the fringes of the squad, who think that actually everybody who's not getting picked thinks that the coaching ticket has favourites. This would be a real chance for everybody to go, there's no favourites, we're hitting a reset, the World Cup is on the horizon, but in the meantime, prove that you're worth your place. And there's good form, man of the match form, against a direct rival. You got to say, okay, yeah, well, that was a brilliant trial that you've done. You're in this week, and I'm not guaranteeing you that you're going to be here next week, but keep coming and keep improving. And I think that's really important in terms of selection. One other thing we wanted to ask you about was the back row at the moment, because obviously so many players are playing well. We had Caelan Doris playing 6 at the weekend and Jack Conlon playing 8 from Leinster's perspective. Leinster again, imperious. What's your first choice back row for Ireland at the moment?
Oh, Jesus, that's a hard one. You know, I think Doris has to be in there. And obviously with Jack Conan coming back from the Lions, I think, and what he did over the summer kind of has increased his profile, if you like, and his playing ability and what he can do at the top level. Josh van der Fleer has been playing well. He seems to have added to his game with the carrying. Nick Timoney was superb for Ulster, and he has been superb at the start of the season. He got capped over the summer. He's a different type of a 7. If there's a real powerhouse type 7 there, with, you know, we probably haven't seen that kind of. He reminds me a little bit of Sean O'Brien, Stephen Ferris type power and strength.
And David Wallace comparisons already this weekend.
Yeah, and Wally, yeah, and what kind of ball carrying ability they have. Is he an out-and-out 7? I'm not so sure. I don't think he's this fetcher that's going to be in every breakdown, but he's very, very powerful. And I think what he's done, I think Gavin Coombs is someone that, I think he had a quiet first half the other night, very quiet. And I was a bit disappointed, because I think the door is open for him to push on to that level now. And, you know, he's a try-scoring machine. And having someone on your team like that who can score tries, I think he'll come into the equation. It's very difficult. Peter O'Mahony, what he brings in the lineup.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
will he be someone off? You know, will Peter O'Mahony be someone that's? I think he's going to be in the squad. Will he be off the bench? Will he be someone who would be around for that leadership role as well? So if you go for the young guns, I think, you know, the Leinster back row that played the other day could be the starting back row. But then, you know, other people might argue that you're playing two number eights there, Doris and Jack Conan. It's very difficult. It's a very difficult one. I think Coombs and O'Mahony will certainly be in the squad.
Okay.
And I think Nick Timoney, but it's probably...
we're putting
the three Leinster players in the moment are the ones in the driving seat.
We're going to put you on notice. I sprung that on you. So we'll give you a little bit of time to go off and do your homework, and we'll get the depth chart, and then we'll polish it off, because I think it's the most competitive it's ever been, and it's always been our most competitive slot. We haven't even talked about Levy coming back, and it's you know, we need to see him get back to his form, but you got to have room for him if he gets back to his previous level. So Alan, we'll leave it there. Good stuff. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Alan Quinlan there, host of the brand new Red 78 podcast from the Rugby Channel. You can hear that in the OTB Rugby podcast feed, or just search for Red 78 wherever you get your podcasts. Best places on the OTB Sports app these days. And of course, the Rugby Channel, you can get it on YouTube as well.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
For me, footwork has been something that's got me out of trouble on more than one occasion on and off the pitch, so I'll go with that one.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.